Lord, we just invite you this morning. Lord, we want to seek your face today. We just want you to turn and look at us. Just turn and look at us. Lord, we just need you to initiate. We need you to come and to just pour your love on us and pour yourself on us so that we can reciprocate and love you back. Lord, this is supposed to be inner healing, and there is no inner healing without the presence of your love and your truth. So if your love and your truth don't come, then we just have mental understanding and it won't set us free. Jesus. We hunger for you, Lord. We hunger for you. Lord, as I read about seeking your face this morning, your face, it said the part that can turn and look at you. And Lord, sometimes we don't want you to turn and look at us because you probably wouldn't like what you see. But we want you to like what you see because we want you to see Jesus in us. So we just want to throw down our self. Just throw ourselves down. Throw down the flesh. Throw down the worries. Throw down the cares. Throw down the fear. Throw down the pride. Any intimidation, insecurity, any of our ways, our will, our thoughts, our desires. We want to throw it all down, Lord. And let you just bring your holy fire and burn it up and turn it to ashes. Let us rise up and just be able to look in your face and see you smiling. See your countenance smiling. Because when you smile at us, everything inside lights up. So we ask you to come, Lord. If your presence does not come today, nothing can happen. Lord, your word says to call out to you, and we're calling out to you because there are so many enemies of our soul, so many spirits and thoughts and belief systems and pains and fears that own our life and control our life, control our thoughts, control our actions. And we need to be free. So we just thank you for your word, and we ask you to quicken your word. Bring it into reality. Bring it into action. Bring it alive in our life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I've got two journals because I'm really loud. Do I need to be that loud? I feel like I'm yelling at myself. I've got two journals because one is called Face Off. That's what we're going to call this today, Face Off. Because you cannot conquer any spirit that conquers you. You cannot conquer it in someone else and set them free if it owns any place in you. Because you are blind and deceived, you are its victim. So if a spirit has license, if it has permission, and it gets permission from you. I mean, just think about some of the spirits like self-pity. You have to agree with it. It comes along and says, poor me. Nobody likes me. I have a sad life. And you go, yeah, I do. And you allow that attitude to live in you. You give it license to live in you. You give yourself to that thought. If only we could really grasp that these are spirits. These attitudes, these feelings, these belief systems, they are the thoughts. They are spirits. And if they're a spirit and we kick them out, we won't feel that way anymore.
Right.
We won't think that way anymore. Because only he who lets, allows a spirit to take him out of the way becomes the slave to that spirit. So if you're feeling depressed and hopeless, And a thought comes to your mind, because they always start in your thought, and it comes to your mind and it says, you might as well just give up. You might as well just go to bed and give up. And you say, yeah, I don't even want to try anymore. And you go crawl in bed. You go sit down. You go just turn on a movie and say, I want to get lost in fantasy land because I don't want to think about my life. That, you know, that's how people live in schizophrenia. It's an escape world because they hate their reality. And some spirit comes and offers them fantasy world, and they follow that spirit into fantasy world, and then it becomes nightmare land. But they're already enslaved by so many spirits before they realize it's a nightmare, and now they don't know how to get out. We're supposed to be the rescuers, God's messengers, to go in there with truth and rescue them. We're the ministers. We're supposed to do that. We can't do that if we're in the prison too. We have to get out and get free. So if you allow like a spirit of rebellion, and then you want to go up to somebody else and rebuke rebellion in them, guess what? It just stands there and says, who do you think you are? I not only own them, I own you. You know? You might as well back up. Why do we get so angry with certain things? Because it's our own enemy. We have a child who is just whiny, whiny, whiny all the time, whiny. And we got another one blowing up, ripping the walls down, screaming in anger and beating everybody. And we don't even get mad at them. But that whiny one, can't stand that. Why? Wherein you judge another, you're guilty of the same thing. Maybe you don't whine and you despise whining. And you don't whine. But why do you despise whining? Did someone despise you for it when you were young? I mean, where does this come from, what we cannot deal with? I have grace for this, but I don't have any toleration for that, is the hint. There's the hint of it has some kind of control over you. Maybe someone with a spirit of anger lorded over you. Maybe they screamed at you. Maybe they punished you. Maybe that you felt all the hate of their anger. Maybe you don't scream and yell, but you can't stand anyone who does because you've been victimized by it. So identifying the hold that spirit has in you is going to help you because you have to face your own enemies first. And once you conquer them, you gain authority over them. Then you can go pursue them and other people and set them free. We have people call us because there's this word, deliverance. And there are ministers. Somebody called us on the phone and said, we got a deliverance minister here and you need to get delivered. It's awesome. And he wanted to sit on the phone for 30 minutes rebuking and breaking agreement with a list of spirits. I break agreement with doubt and fear and anger and lust and he started naming other things and incubus, and I don't know what an incubus is, you know. I said, oh wait, what's an incubus? And he said, don't worry, it's a demon, just break agreement with it. How can I do that? I don't even know what it is. I mean, speak English, so I know what I'm breaking. What if I don't even think it's a demon and I don't want to break agreement with it? What if I broke agreement with it and it left, but because I don't know how it got in the first place, it comes back. And when they come back, they bring seven friends with them. And you get worse than you were. So you can't just sit somebody down, and I've seen them do this, just go through the list. Now you're free. And the person goes, wow, I feel so good. Somebody told us that in the women's meeting. I went through deliverance and I felt so good. But later, I'm worse than I was to start with. That's because you didn't get down to the roots and the seeds of why it's there. That's where the healing and the real deliverance comes. And people call us up, will you take me through deliverance? Yeah. You want to give me the rest of your life to do it? Because you're not going to run down a list of 50 demons and get free in one day. That's not the way that God intended it to work. It's layer by layer by layer by layer. They're built on each other. Sometimes the layer has six of them and they go together. But it's built layer by layer in you. How did it get here? Why did it get here? What did I agree with and why did I agree with that? And I have to start battling to stay free with some truth. When depression comes and I want to go lay in bed, I need to say, oh, that's a spirit. That's a lying, evil spirit, depression. I am not depressed. I'm being attacked by a spirit of depression. So I need to recognize it, and I need to say, I'm not going to listen to you, and you're not going to live in me, and I will not receive your depression in the name of Jesus. Get away from me. And then I turn to Jesus and start praising him and saying, oh Lord, I rest in you. Rescue me from this enemy, because I am not. Will you tell me, you give me one step of anything to do, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to come against depression. What did depression want me to do? Go lay down? Well, then I'm going to jump up and down. I'm going to go take a run. Go for a jog. Anything not to obey that spirit. Rebellion tells you, your mama told you to clean your room, and you're going, I don't want to clean my room. I don't want to. Do you know how much I keep hearing that in kids today? Like as if what you want makes any difference. You know? Well, we need to keep that attitude as an adult. I don't want to. So, obedience is doing what you don't want to do and doing it with a good attitude. I don't want to clean my room. You're going to clean your room. I don't want to clean my room. Well, I can help you decide to clean your room. You know, I can take away your treats, take away your playtime, take away your computer time. I can spank you. And you're going to clean your room. And you can clean your room with a bad attitude, whining, complaining, and negative. Or you can simply say, rebellion doesn't want me to do this thing. And I'm going to do it. Rebellion, I'm not going to obey you. I am going to obey what God has asked me to do. And I'm going to do it with a good attitude. I'm going to do it with a good attitude. God tells you to take a chocolate cake to your neighbor and you don't like your neighbor. And you're going, fine, I have to take this stupid chocolate cake. I hope they choke on it. No! I hope they get loved by it. I hope that they see the love of God and the mercy of God. And while you're baking that cake, you need to be saying, I don't want to do this, God, but I'm doing it because you told me to. Please move through this cake to do what you want to do through this cake. Good attitude. Doing what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. We were in a Baptist church, kids' Bible, what do you call that? In the summer? Vacation Bible school all summer. And they practice the kids saying, what is obedience? Doing what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. And then they threw in, boys have short hair, girls have long hair. And they threw in all the Baptist rules too, you know. But that was a good part. Do what you're told, when you're told, with a good attitude. It's pleasing unto the Lord. It is worship unto the Lord. It is a sacrifice unto the Lord. It makes him look at you and go, wow. If I said bake a cake for your neighbor and you went, yeah, I want to bake a cake for the neighbor, God goes, thank you. But when he says bake a cake for the neighbor and you go, I don't want to, get out of me. I will do what God wants me to do. And I will do it. It's hard. I really don't want to, but I'm going to. And we do it. He goes, oh, this is precious. You're doing what you don't want to do because you love me. I don't want to wash clothes. Quite honestly, I don't want to clean house. I don't want to cook meals. I don't want to wash clothes. I don't want to have anything to do with housekeeping. From the time I was young, all I wanted to do, I wanted to be a career person. I wanted to be a foreign correspondent. I wanted to travel the world and report the true news. I wanted to write books. I wanted to paint. But I wanted to do all these things that I love to do, and I never wanted to stay at home. Before I got saved, I was leader of the pack of Women's Lib. Don't let any man tell you what to do. Don't let any man tell you you should stay home and wash his clothes while he makes a career. I got my own career to make. I opened business after business after business. I figured if I make enough money, I can pay somebody else to go do the housework. You know, it gets done. I'm doing what I want. They are making some money doing what I don't want to do. What's the problem? The problem is you got to do what God tells you to do, whether you like it or not. And I didn't appreciate what it meant. I didn't appreciate that laundry, who would like to do it? Who would want to wash dishes? Who does want to mow grass and fix repairs? Crawl under a sink and do the plumbing? Who does want to do that? We do it because we do it for those we love. We do it because it needs to be done, and we do it as a service for those we love. Christians come into church and they go, I don't want to, so I'm not going to. Well, that's fine. Then you're not going to get him to turn and look at you either. You're not going to please the heart of God by loving one another and doing what he asks you to do. But when you do what he asks you to do, God gets excited. And we are the ones that get free. Because if you sit around in the I don't want to's, you're a miserable person. Because it increases. You see, they don't just get an entrance in you, they increase. If you give in to self-pity, it grows stronger and stronger. And because it's a liar, it will begin lying to you about everything. It'll begin saying, you see that person over there? They don't like you. Why? Well, because you're stupid. You don't look good. You don't talk right. How come I don't have any talent? How come I can't do anything important? How come nobody notices? And the more lies you believe, the more lies they tell you, because now they tell you you don't do anything important. You're worthless. Now depression can come and tell you, you're worthless. Why should you go try to do anything? You're not any good at anything. I mean, there's people that are good at it. You're not. God didn't give you any. Why wouldn't God give me any talent? Doesn't he like me? No, not as much as him. And they just add lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. And then sometimes all it takes is one heartbreak to confirm all those lies. One divorce. Whether your parents divorced and now you can believe it's because of you, or whether your own mate divorced you and you're really confirmed that nobody wants you. And if you listen to them long enough, it can lead to insanity, it can lead to suicide, it can lead to a total failure. And all of it's a lie. It's all a lie. Now, you got a child that's walking around in self-pity, and you don't like it. And you can't help them. You can yell at them. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. All you think about is you. You can get mad at them, but you can't get them free because you got the same boss telling you the same lies. And you hate it. You hate your slave master. But you're not free, and you can't get anyone else free until you are free. The disciples of Jesus, they met a man with a child that was deaf and dumb. I'm not in the Bible yet, this I'm just talking. And they said, Master, we couldn't cast this spirit out. We couldn't heal this boy. We couldn't cast out the spirit of deaf and dumb in him. And Jesus said, well, this kind comes not forth but by prayer and fasting. But prayer and fasting isn't a manipulation to get God to move. It's a manipulation to get you to move out of where you're at. See, God could already have the power to heal him. Jesus said, be healed, deaf and dumb spirit, get out of him. And it was gone like that. He didn't have to go fast and pray about it. He was ready. It was a picture for us. They were deaf. The disciples were deaf. They could not hear what God was saying. They didn't know what he wanted to do. We can only speak what we hear him speaking, and they didn't hear him speaking. So they had no idea how to get that boy free. And they were dumb, which means they couldn't speak. Could mean some other things too. But they couldn't speak because they had not heard. They had not heard the word of God. They could not speak the word of God. They could not set the child free. So what is the answer? Go and find out why you're not hearing from God. Maybe you need to stop running around, even in your ministry, just going, woo, the devils are subject to us. Let's go cast them all out. What's your problem? Out, get out, get out, get out, get out. Running around all excited, doing. And they stop listening. And he said, you need to go home and fast. A fast is to give something up. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your entertainment. Maybe it's what's filling your mind so you're not hearing God? What's filling your ears? He said, whatever is filling your ears, and maybe it's food, maybe you're just a glutton and all you think of is the next meal. I know people that use food as a healing, and that's all they can think of, you know? That as soon as they're done with breakfast, they're planning lunch. They finish lunch, they're planning dinner and making the grocery list for tomorrow, you know? All they think about is food. There are people that think food is love. There are some people that think food is love. Harvey kind of attaches that, you know. Food can be love. You can love through food, but you can't depend on food to get loved. But you can give love through food. Because when I cook his favorite thing, Now, he's somebody that appreciates little things. So if I make him his favorite meal and I place it on the plate beautifully and I fold the napkin and I put little garnishes around and I make it beautiful, he feels so loved because he knows that I went out of my way to do all that for him, and I did it because I love him, and it is definitely not because I love to cook. I don't love to cook. So when I do it, I'm doing it because I love him. And he receives that as love, and it ministers to him. So you can give love through food, but you can't depend on love to give you food. I mean, you can't depend on food to give you love. And when people do that, they end up gluttons. I'm just really sad. I need some chocolate. Why do people think chocolate heals sadness? I don't know, but you know. Janaya's got this shirt. I do too. I own one too. I think she has two now because I haven't seen mine for a while. It's brown. It's got pink letters and it says, chocolate is cheaper than therapy. So, when you're depending on food. And you've seen it in the movies. Somebody's depressed. What do? They get out the whole gallon of ice cream and start eating it. I'm going to comfort myself with something that tastes good. I can't feel good, but I can taste good, you know. So we depend on things like that, and they become habits and excessive. But when he said go fast and pray. Find out what God is saying, and then you can speak what he's speaking, and then there's authority. But I think what he wanted them to realize in their fasting was you aren't able to hear the Lord. You are not walking with him in a way that when you're out there, you hear him. And if you're not in there with him in some quiet time, if you're not in there in that place with God, you're not hearing him. I'm not saying he's not with you, but you're not hearing him when you're out there to help people. We can never get too busy to draw back in God. Anything you don't have time to pray for, you ought not be doing. Anything you don't have time to pray for, don't do. Because you need to be walking with the Holy Spirit. You are his car. You are his vehicle. My son, whom I know is called to preach and still is not doing it, when he went to Bible college, he came out to a church we were starting out in Arizona. Texas. And he preached, where are you taking the Holy Spirit? Because you take him everywhere you go. Are you taking him where he wants to go? Or are you forcing him to go where you want to go? And the word says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. He's stuck in you. He's stuck inside of you. He wants to go and love. He wants to go deliver. He wants to heal. He wants to preach truth. He has a mission to accomplish in and through you. So if you're taking him down to the bar and getting drunk, if you're taking him and you're screaming and yelling at people in anger, if you are taking him out to what you want to do, you're grieving him. He's inside of you, crying, weeping over sin, sorrow, sickness, sadness, people going to hell. He's in there grieving because you won't let him speak because you don't hear him. You don't know what he wants to say. We can only speak what we hear the Father say. We can only do what we see the Father do. You know, so many times we pray over people and we want them healed and we want what we want and we're not hearing what he wants and they don't get healed and then we get mad at God. I thought you loved people. I thought you wanted to heal. He does, but he doesn't want a quick fix. He doesn't want to give them an aspirin. So they go home and feel better today, and then tomorrow it all gets worse because they're not cured. He goes for the cure. He goes for the cure. And he will go for the relief. I get relief in my knees. Harvey is so good at praying over me. Man, sometimes I want to make it up when I'm not even sick. Because he prays so good over me. We're laying in bed. I never lied to you. We're laying in bed and he says, are you okay? Because I'm squirming. I said, no, I got a knife in my knee. My knee hurts so bad. He doesn't just go, in the name of Jesus. No, he goes down by my leg and he wraps himself around my leg and he starts touching and touching and loving and touching and loving. And he quit hurting in 5 minutes. He's still down there 20 minutes later. I'm not telling him. This is good. Finally, he'll say, how's your knee? It's fine. How about the other one? No. I think my foot hurts. He gets the best foot rub in the whole world. We're on the way to church this morning, and I'm thinking, I think I got about an hour worth of petting and loving because my knee hurt last night, you know? So I'm going, there's more like 2 hours. 3? Really? Wow. No wonder I was so tired. I couldn't get up this morning. So wait 3 hours getting loved on.
No, man. It was like, I think I didn't sleep.
You know, I just got to say this. People, if you want to love your mate, don't be in a hurry. Come here a minute, because I need a guinea pig here to love. Sometimes you think, okay, this is love here. This is love. Turn around. I want to make you feel good. How's that? Beating on them, rubbing them. That feels good, doesn't it, babe? That feels good. Those muscles are feeling good. Y'all jealous, aren't you? That feels really good to get a muscle rub like that. It's nice. And it's love. But you know what? Love is gentle. Love is kind. Oh, look at that cute little ear. Oh, that's so sweet. Look at those little hairs. I'll pull each one of them out there gently. Gentle, touching, just because you want the love of God to flow. That's not threatening. It's not threatening at all, is it? It's not threatening. That is so sweet and gentle. You know what? If you've got issues, because I'm an issue person, not of abuse, and I had issues. I remember, goodbye journals. I remember when I was a young girl thinking, when I get married. I mean, you'd see movies and you'd see people hurting. You'd see people just hurting. And in your innocence, you'd think, girls, I could love him. I could heal him. I could fix him just by loving him. I could make it better for him. Boy, if he only knew. I mean, that first time you got a crush at school, but he likes somebody else, and she's treating him mean, and you're going, he should date me. He should marry me. I see his needs. I could love him. But then, when you start giving that love to someone and they abuse you, you lock up. You lock the doors. You don't want to give it anymore because you get wounded. You get rejected. You get hurt. You don't want to give it anymore. You don't want to give it to your friends either because they all backstabbed you, lied about you, talked about you, hurt you. You don't want to give it to them anymore. And you lock it all up. That's even before we met God. God's love is so powerful. So powerful. It's way beyond ours. But see, I came into my marriage with issues. Issues upon issues. Child abuse. Teenage rape. Divorce. Abandonment. Issue after issue after issue after issue. And I didn't even want to receive love. Much less give it. And then Harvey, God worked through him. He's just like, you know, tenacious. He doesn't back off. He doesn't quit. It's like, I'm going to love you whether you want it or not. You know, here I am. I'm going to love you. And he never quits. I got the best husband in the whole wide world. I don't think there's another man on the face of the earth that could pour out love for 3 hours like he did. And you know what? He can't either. But a long time ago, he said, God, I'm trying to love this woman. She is hard. I'm trying to love her. My love just isn't enough. And it wasn't. He said, God, you got to do it. You got to do it through me. I can't get through to her. You carry God in you. You can get through to someone. You can get through to your mate, whether they let you or not. But if you threaten them, no kids in the room, I really love you, baby, let's have sex, you know. No, don't be after something. Don't be trying to get something from them. That's not giving, that's taking. It can wind up there in lovemaking, yes. But start out with something you can do. But if you can't love his ears and his nose and his toes, love his fingers. Love fingers. I've been loving your hand for years. I just come and I go, whoa, that hand. I love that hand. Oh, I just love to feel the hand on my face. Touch his thumb. Right here. That's a good spot, right there. Between the thumb and the finger, right down into the fat right there. Meaty hand there. It is such a good spot. Just kiss it right there. That's a good spot. If you got enough love in you to go for a thumb, just touch that thumb. Just touch that thumb gently. You don't have to give more than God is doing in you. Give what you've got, and it will grow into another finger, and it'll grow up the arm, and it'll grow up there to the cute little ears, and it'll grow. You don't have a mate. You don't have a mate because half the people in the room, more than half, that's a couple, this is a couple. And then we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, no mate. Get ready for a mate. Get ready for a mate. Because I wasn't able to love that thumb until I got loved on by God directly. Directly. Though he was giving love, I wasn't taking it. I had all my shields up. You sit there and rub my foot for 3 hours and I'm going, why are you doing that? What do you want? You know? I'm not receiving it. To be loved, you have to receive love. And it starts with God. It starts with God loving you. Just go put on some soft music and lay down and say, come love me. Come love me, God. I need to be loved in order to love you back. Just come love on me. I need love. If you'll receive it, God will heal you. He will love you. He will take you back to those wounded places. And he'll prepare you. See, that's what a good daddy does. He doesn't do like the Muslim country and give his 6-year-old daughter to a man to be his wife. He raises us up. He loves us. He puts confidence. He brings the healing. He prepares us so we're ready to go out and share love with another adult. And you know what? Some people, inside, emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, are still 6 years old. Maybe 3 years old. And then they want to go get married and hope that's going to meet all their needs. And you know what it feels like? Child abuse. It feels like child abuse. Children aren't meant to sleep with their parent. That's child abuse. So if you marry somebody and you're still looking for mommy, that's perversion. If you marry somebody and you're still looking for daddy, it's perversion. It's not pure. Wherever you're at, married or not married, you need to be fathered and mothered by God until you're spiritually, emotionally healthy and ready for an adult relationship. And only God can bring you to that point. So you need some soaking time. You need some alone time. You need Daddy God to heal the wounds where you were hurt by Dad or didn't have a Dad. You need Mommy God to cuddle you, rock you, nurture you, put confidence in you. You just need some more God time. And a lot of us are married that didn't get enough of it, and we still need it. And that's, I think, why a whole lot of places end up divorced. It's like babies getting married and wounding each other, you know? So there's no guilt. There's no shame. There is pure need for God to heal us. And he wants to. He wants to do it. We just need to give him time and let him do it. Just come to him and lay before him and let him do it. I didn't get to go everywhere I wanted to go. But I'm going to give you the one verse. In face off, it means we have to face some enemies. We have to face them, and we have to conquer them. We have to defeat them. And we've been living in a defensive mode. They attack me. Help, help, I'm under attack again. And I'm barely surviving my attack. But as we gain the wisdom and the truth and the love and the power of God to defeat them, we are going to say Psalm 18:37. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again until they were consumed. 38. I've wounded them, but they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. These are the enemies of your soul. These are self-pity, discouragement, depression, giving up, hate, anger, woundedness, fear, pride, selfishness, judgment, critical. They're on and on and on and on. These are demons. They are real spirits, and they are the enemies of your soul. And God wants to bring you to a place where not only are you able to defend yourself from that attack, but to where you got it, and now you're the attacker. You see, they come after me on insecurity, and God said, we're going to defeat this enemy. If you walk with me and cooperate with me, we're going to take this one down. First, I'm going to take the blinders off your eyes to see this spirit of insecurity, recognize this lies. Now, you cooperate with me, and you don't obey him anymore. You obey me now, okay? And I started doing that. Every time insecurity lied, I said, I see you, liar. I'm not doing what you said. God, what do you want me to do? And I obeyed God, and grace came. Insecurity left. Wasn't last Sunday, the Sunday before, when Bill was here, Apostle Bill. He had brought people from Lansing, people from Pawpaw, people from Allegan, Flint. He brought all these people. I think they all came here to hear him. They wanted to hear what the great Apostle Bill had to say and all about his Israel trip. And they knew he would be here that Sunday. That never occurred to me. I knew they were coming. I knew he would be here. And it never even occurred to me he ought to be speaking. Because God gave me a message. And he said, this is my word and this is what I want you to preach on Sunday. And I said, okay. In the past, knowing Bill would be here, I would have argued with God. But God, Bill's going to be here. And I don't speak as good as him. And he's more powerful. And people want to hear him. And if they come and I'm talking, they're going to be so disappointed to just hear me. And I'm scared. I don't even want Bill to sit there and listen to me. He'll probably be thinking, why is she speaking? You know, I was so insecure in the past. I would try every way I could to wiggle out of having to speak if we had a guest here who was a great speaker. It would have just, and insecurity would have been all over me with that. And even if I obeyed God, it would have been in fear, and then I'd have to battle fear. What are the people going to think? It never occurred to me. Until I got home Sunday night, and I said, Harvey, the fire that was in that word didn't fully get to burn. There were hindrances in the room. There was something wrong in the room. Something was blocking the full power of God. I don't know what it was. Then we started talking about what it could be. And then I went, so many people were here to hear Bill. Insecurity must have walked in the room that day, looked at me and said, no use even talking to her. She won't listen. I'm getting a handle on it. I'm winning against that spirit. And when I fully get it, not only is it going to take 10 years off my life, because that was what God told me, but when I fully get it, even before I fully get it, I'm going to start now. I'm going to start after it in everyone else. Because I'm beginning to really see it in other people, and I'm going, what are you doing? Don't you know that's just that old ugly, evil spirit of insecurity? Why are you listening to him? I'm starting to see it in others and say, why are you listening? It's beating you down. It's shutting you up. It hates you. It's hurting you. Why are you letting it live in you? See, I'm going to start until I pursue that enemy. I'm going to overtake it in other people. And I'm not going to turn back until insecurity is consumed. And I'm going to wound it until it can't get up again. And it is under my feet. Now, you know it's getting a little easier when insecurity even dares to come around me and say, who do you think you are? Now, it's not me. It's got to be in Christ. I had a dream or a vision or I don't remember which. But in the dream, I think it was a dream, God gave me some rocks and said, I want to tell you what these rocks, we're going to explore and examine these rocks together. And there were two demons standing over here, and they were talking to each other saying, who does she think she is? And I heard him, and I just looked at Jesus and said, who do I think I am? And he started telling me who I am in him. You are the one I chose. And I said, I am going to take you to explore these rocks. I'm going to tell you what's recorded in them. I'm going to tell you what they have to say. I'm going to give you the revelation and mysteries from these rocks. That's who I say you are. You're the one I chose to speak to through the rocks. Hear that, guys? They're gone. It's not who I think I am. It's who he told me I am.
Amen.
Do you know what he's telling you? Do you know who you are? Do you know what he's telling you to do? Do you know what he's telling you to say? Because if you don't, you're ineffective. Ineffective. I don't care how much you love somebody, your words won't set them free. Your touch won't set them free. You're ineffective unless the anointing of God comes on you. You have to know what he's saying. You have to see what he's doing. And he's only going to show those who are seeking him because they love him, because they want him, because they want to be free and they want to please God and they want to throw themselves down. I want to take this flesh off and throw it down and burn it up so that I can learn to walk in the Spirit with God. No fear, no intimidation. Hearing what he says, when you know God said it, you won't have any problem speaking it in confidence. It's when you don't know, well, maybe God wants to do this, you know. I hope it works. It won't. I very much doubt it. Because your doubt already stopped it.
Right.
I read an article this morning by a minister that was working somewhere over in Africa, I think. And this lady gave birth to twins. And in that area, that was a curse to birth twin babies. So they kicked her out. And she struggled and she survived and she provided for these two twins. And they were 5 years old and one of them died. And she sent word and got the minister. And they died of cerebral malaria. And they had been dead several hours, this child. And he went there and he took the child and he held the child and he said, oh God, I know you can heal. Oh God, I know you can heal and heal this child and bring back life and breathe life in this child. And he tried for a long, long, long time and the child did not come back to life. And he handed him back to the mom and said, I'm sorry. And she said, he will not come to me again, but someday I will go to him. And she buried her child. About 5 years later, he was in another meeting. And God said, there's a man in the audience. I don't remember, 1, 2, 3,000, lots of people. God said, there is a man in this audience today. His child died this morning of cerebral malaria. And I want you to bring him back to life. So call out that man. That's a scary thing to do. And he says, and this is when you're thinking, God, if I'm wrong, in front of all these people. But he walked with God and he knew the voice of God. And he said, there's a man whose child died this morning. Come up here. God is going to raise him from the dead. And that man came up and he spoke life over the child. And they went home and said the boy had sneezed a couple times and he'd been dead 7 hours. He sneezed a couple times and he sat up and he came back to life. And I don't know how many years later, but the man said, he's alive today. Because the first time God didn't say he was going to do it. And the minister was trying to make it happen because he wanted it to happen. The second time, he didn't have his hands on it. It's what God said he was going to do. And it happened. We need to hear his voice. We need to be with him. We need to be seeking him. What you do with God in private is all you have to bring anybody in public. What he gives you when you're alone with him will flow when you're out with him. But if there's no time with him, you have nothing to give anyone except knowledge. And the letter of the law kills. But the Spirit gives life. You cannot just take the word without the Spirit. And you can't take the Spirit if you don't know what he's doing. And you can't get your healing unless you lay in his hospital and invite him. Oh God, I need to be healed. I am sick. I am wounded. I am lonely. I am hurt. I am desperate. I need to be healed, not just for me, but because I want to be your messenger to take healing. I'm afraid. I'm intimidated. I'm proud. I'm arrogant. I know I am, and I'm selfish, and I'm rebellious. And if you don't know you are, if you lay in his presence long enough, you'll find out you are. Because he'll tell you. The closer you get to God, the more he shines the lights on your demons, and you'll find out who's really running your soul. The closer you get to God, the more humble you will be, because you will see yourself compared to God. When we're way out here, we compare ourselves to man, and we're looking pretty good sometimes. But the closer you get to God, you compare yourself to him, and you know that all your righteousness is just filthy rags. Only God is good. Only God is power. Only God is love that can reach out and touch. We need to be his conduit of love. Lord, all I ask you this morning, and I think what you put in my heart was love, that your love would touch those who came here hungering and seeking and laying themselves down, saying, here am I, Lord, look at me. Here am I, Lord, look at me. Look into me. Search me. Know me. Try me. Know my heart. Try my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, God. Lead me in the way everlasting. I don't want to live in bondage to these things that control me, that have wounded me, and I can't get out. There's an old song. He reached down his hand for me. He had to reach way down for me. He lifted me out of the miry pit, and he put my feet upon a rock. Reach down for us today, Lord. Reach down for us. Because we cannot deliver ourselves. Our enemies are too many, and they're too strong for us. But we cry out to you, Lord, save us, save us, rescue us, heal us, love us, so that we can just love you back and let you love others through us. That's the only way to be your ministers. Come and start it. Come and go deeper today. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to lay our lives before you, Lord. We're just going to lay down before you now and wait. If you're not open, open up. Just open up. Just tell him you can go inside of me anywhere you want. Do anything you want. I will cooperate. I won't hide. I won't excuse. I won't fear. Come and search me, oh God. Come and find me, oh God. Come and bring me out into the light. Out of a darkness into the light. Jesus, 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 thank you. He's here. He's here. Jesus. Ho. There's a holy presence in this room. There's a holy, holy presence in this room right now. Oh. He's just moving, moving, moving. I see him like a cloud. It's not an angel. It's the Holy Spirit himself. He's gently moving around the room. Seeking, seeking, seeking a hungry heart. Seeking the open heart. Seeking the one who will say, here, Lord, here. Come here, Lord. Don't pass me by. Come in me, God. Come in me. Come in me, Lord. Come deep in me. Come in every part of me. Come and search me.
toe. Lord, I need transformation. I need transformation. Open my eyes that I might see, that I should know what I should be. My feelings get the best of me. Open my eyes that I can see. Open my ears that I could hear, that you would make it very clear. Your Holy Spirit's very near. Open my ears that I can hear. Open my heart that I can feel, that I may know that you are real. My feelings get the best of me. Open my heart that I can feel. Oh Lord, I lift up the souls in this room. I lift up the souls in this room. They came here because they want you. They came here because they know they need you. We are here because we are desperate for you. Shut! Holy Spirit, do a miracle today. Do a miracle in us today. You said your truth. You are truth. And that your truth would set us free. God, we are imprisoned in so many ways. Bring a truth. Bring a truth to each person in this room. Open every eye to behold a truth, to hear a truth that would begin the path of freedom. Phew. You know the bondage. You know the jail keepers of us. You know the jail keepers of our mind, of our emotions. But you've got the key, God, to set us free, to take us out into a large place. Shut. We cry out to you, O God. We cry out to you from behind our prison bars. Give us the key of truth. Give us the key of truth. Let your Spirit come and speak the word of truth that will turn that lock, that will dispel the enemy, that will overcome him and chase him away. Unmask him. Dasha! So we begin the freedom walk. My hands are on the bars, Lord. My hands are on the bars of the prison door. And the enemy's on the other side. And he stands there face to face with me. And God, I've backed away from that door. And I've hidden in my cell before. And buried my head under a blanket. And looked for a soft cushion. As long as I'm stuck here, I might as well get comfortable. Not today. Today I'm walking up to that prison door. And I'm putting my hands on the bar. And I'm staring that enemy in the face. And I'm saying, look out. You are done. You are done. You are done holding me in this jail cell. Because my God is here. And he's got the key. And he's going to unlock the door. And you better look out when he does. Because on this side of the door is the Holy Spirit with me. And he is going to come after you. You better take warning. You better run. You better run if you want to. Run if you will. Because I'm getting out today. And when my Holy Spirit in me starts running after you, you are not going to want to get caught, because when I catch up to you and I see you again coming anywhere near me, you are going to get early retirement. You are going to get sent to the pits of hell early. So you better go while the going's good. Because God is after you. How dare you? I belong to God. How dare you touch me? How dare you lie to me? When the Spirit of truth is living in me, I'm going to choose to believe Him. I'm not going to listen to you again. When my son was little, we used to do this. See my finger? See my thumb? See my fist? You better run. You see my Father? You see His Son? You see the Holy Spirit? You better run. I'm going to start doing that when those spirits bother me. I'm going to pull my hand up and tell them, you see my Father? You see His Son? You see His Spirit? You better run. Because you've been seen. And all the power's on my side.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to walk it out, Lord. We don't just want a one time it leaves, comes back tomorrow with friends. We're going to walk it out. We're not letting it back. We're not listening again. We're listening to you. When that spirit shows up and lies to me, I'm going to say, hold on a minute. Let me see what God has to say about this. And then we're just going to tell Him whatever you have to say about it. I don't think he'll probably be gone before I turn back, because he doesn't want to hear what you have to say about it. Coward! Ever watch that Popeye movie, you know, and in the end of it, Blutus turns yellow and he's swimming away and he goes, Blutus, what does he say? He's a coward. He's got a yellow streak. Woe to those enemies that dare to touch the elect, the chosen, the children of God. God is in us. How dare the enemy? How dare he? It's attacking God Himself. How dare he? Stop letting him. Stop grieving that spirit of God. Who's here for you to stand up in you? Rise up, Holy Spirit. Rise up in us. Show! Show. I'm sweating, but I don't care. Let your fire burn. Shh. We're going to bring the rest of that message some other day. But when we do, you're going to like it. Read Psalm 18. See what all God is for you. Just read Psalm 18. He's a solid rock. He's your fortress. You got to build some walls around that fort.